Welcome to episode 53 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. So, it's the last show before Christmas, and if you're following me on Twitter and Facebook, you'll know that I've been a bit quiet online recently, whilst rushing around and juggling my work commitments and festive preparations. On this week's show, by contrast, I'm slowing things right down, taking time out to talk once again with photographer and writer Hugh Graham, who was one of my lecturers when I studied at university. The topic of our discussion this time is the age-old debate of Nikon versus Canon. Now, I'm saying no more than this for now. Instead, let's get straight into it to see what conclusions are drawn. So, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 53. So, once again, I am with Hugh Graham, my one-time lecturer at university, with a wry smile on his face as I say this, and also over the last few years, we've worked together and generally nattered over a cup of tea. So, you guys seem to like the conversations, and this is another one. Today, we're going to open up the can of worms that is the Canon versus Nikon debate. Now, a bit of back history. Before I started shooting on Nikon, I was a Pentax user, and I came to Nikon when I first went digital. Hugh was always, among other things, a Minolta and a Leica user, and then he currently shoots on Canon for his digital DSLR cameras. And both of us are often asked why. Why do we use Canon? Why do we use Nikon? Or rather, why don't we use Canon or why don't we use Nikon? And there does seem to be this ongoing debate. And at the end of the day, we're talking about tools here. And I'm not sure entirely, Hugh, where to start with this debate. Is it a decent question to ask you why you chose Canon rather than other cameras?
Well, I didn't choose Canon. It just happened.
Okay.
I suppose, like, most of my generation was a complete maverick. Everybody else in Fleet Street at the time when I was working there were using Canon or Nikon. Hmm. I deliberately chose either Leica or Minolta. I felt the Leicas were wonderful, and the submicron lenses were superb. The problem was that you had to have two or three bodies in order to avoid changing the film every 10, 15 minutes, because the cameras only had 36 exposures. It was a nightmare to change the Leica. Real experts could do it in about 30 seconds, and it took me about a minute and a half. But by that time, the action had moved on and I'd lost the shots. So I'd solved the problem by having three separate bodies. Mm. And that's, if you look at the early pictures of the early press photographers, they've always got two or three bodies slung around their necks. Mm. And it wasn't because they had different lenses, although sometimes they did. The real reason was they wanted to make quite sure of having the film available to take the shot at the time when the action was taking place.
And I think that's, regardless of the camera, in terms of digital cameras, that is always going to be the dilemma, is how many shots have you got left on your memory card or film, what have you. You may or may not remember this. In fact, I expect you probably do. I once helped you to shoot a wedding where it was right at the beginning where you had first asked me to help you shoot weddings. And we're going back
10 years,
yeah. Something like this. Don't really do this now, of course, but going back 10 years. And we were at a reception and you had your Minolta cameras.
Yeah.
Minolta digital cameras. And we were trying to get a group arranged to photograph them. And we were up on like a balcony or something, and I was just stood to one side, because at that time I was essentially just apprenticing, you know, watching you and what have you. And I'll never forget this, you turned to me and you said, "Oh, I've run out of pictures, you need to get this shot."
Yeah.
And I, at the time, I thought, okay, fine, whatever. You know, I was just pleased to get involved. And then afterwards, I got back home and I was backing up my pictures and I'm thinking, this guy's a professional. There's no way he was going to run out of space for his pictures. And of course, I know subsequent to that, that it was a test and explaining to me that, you know, you need to jump in and if you need to get the picture and what have you. But when you have only got a set number of pictures available or files available to you, it doesn't actually matter, does it, whether you're shooting Nikon, Fuji, Canon, Minolta. We have often said, and in fact we were just before we started recording this, we are saying it's, you know, people that will spend £3,000 on a camera and then buy a cheap lens, it's completely the wrong way around. Now, you know as well as I do that Nikon and Canon essentially, and there are some exceptions within the various product lineup, they're essentially the same. The glass, the cameras, for what we day to day will want to be shooting. You have, I know you've said in the past, you have favourite Canon lenses.
Yeah.
And I have favourite Nikon lenses. If someone was to say to you now, which brand would you go to? Would you still stick with camera? With Canon, or do you think you'd want to test both alongside again? Or where would you stand in this kind of Canon versus Nikon?
Charles, let's just ask the question again. Are you assuming if I was starting again that I had no prior knowledge of either Canon or Nikon? Or are you saying, if you had lost all your equipment and your insurance company were forking out for an entirely new system, what would you choose? What are you asking?
I think there's a good answer to be had from both of those. But let's take...
Okay, well, let's assume that my cameras have been written off in a car crash and I must start again. I buy Canon again.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I would buy Canon is not because it's spectacularly different or better the Nikon, it's because I know the camera backwards.
Mm.
And everything falls into place. My hands go automatically to the buttons and the keys. Mm. And I wouldn't have to learn the Nikon system.
Mm.
And I think if you were honest, and which is perhaps a little unusual for you.
Oh, that's not fair. Not fair at all.
You would probably give me the same answer about Nikon.
No, you're quite right. Because, yes, there is some security in knowing that... for example, I would imagine it's the same with Canon. I wouldn't know because I've not ever shot on Canon. With Nikons, for example, when I went from a D100, D200, D2H, D3 and so on, it's very instinctive. The buttons might move around a little bit, but you know where you are within those cameras. And even to the point which the way in which you turn the ring on your lenses, I believe it works the opposite way on a Canon than it does on a Nikon. Certainly it did on your Minoltas, I seem to recall. So fair enough. Hands up. I probably would go to Nikon because I know the system. But what about if you were starting afresh? Let's put aside... because a lot of the guys listening to this are very keen, enthusiast photographers, and it is a bit of a minefield. You might have money set aside, ready to buy a new camera, and where do you start? You and I are both... Oh, let's just pause that. So, yeah, if you were spending out, you had the money to buy... into a camera system, and as I say, a lot of listeners are in that position. It's a bit of a minefield. You and I are both in a privileged position whereby we have various contacts within manufacturers, so that we can test kit before we buy. If you didn't have that luxury, where would one start? Because both of these companies have their marketing, they both have the adverts out there, and they both make very good cases.
Well, I suppose you wouldn't actually necessarily start with either Nikon or Canon. You go to your local camera shop, and you go and talk to one of the assistants who probably knew probably less money, less about photography than they did, and they might look at the Sony, for example. Excellent camera, really good lenses. They've got Zeiss lenses, which is superb. And I think most people would carefully consider one of those. But if, are you assuming that they knew anything about photography, or were they really just starting off?
I think that the level that we're talking about, maybe it's worth clarifying, if someone was to look to get an SLR or a DSLR, I think a lot of people come into that position either because they've had a point and shoot and they are just trying to get to the next step. I think what you're alluding to is perhaps some of the hybrid cameras that are slightly lower down the line. Again, very good cameras, and they do a fantastic job depending on what you want them to do. I think when you start looking into DSLRs and trying to build a camera system, i.e. separate lenses, accessories like flash guns, and then obviously talking about tripods and bits, but certainly the system based around a camera brand. So you might get, for example, some people like the little eye cup that clips over the viewfinder to shut out the light, various, I don't know, sort of release cables and stuff that only, for example, only the Nikon one would fit, and Nikon, a Canon one wouldn't. It's worth looking at, for a lot of people, I think it's worth looking at what is in the range.
Okay.
But I think, again, there's the same offerings from both camps.
If I was advising a youngster who was starting off and he wanted to buy, to start to build his own system, I would first of all advise him to ignore the photographic magazines.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I would ask him to particularly ignore all the reviews of the magazines, because, as I'm sure you've noticed, no one ever says anything's rubbish. And if you actually think about that, there has to be bad cameras, but no one ever acknowledges that they are.
Well, all you have to do is look in the back cover, and there's a blooming great advert from a camera manufacturer, shall we say. It happens across all sorts of brands, and not just cameras, accessories and bags and tripods and goodness knows what. And like you say, you know, that advertising money is what keeps those magazines going. So sure. It is.
So they're not going to rubbish anything. So if I was starting off and I didn't know anything about it, and I've been an enthusiastic amateur, what I would probably do is suggest that they go and talk to the guys at local camera society, and talk to where they will find many people using Canon and many people using Nikon. And everybody in a camera club is a natural enthusiast. They might be extremely boring, but they are extremely enthusiastic. And they'd be very keen to show a Tyro their camera, their lens, their system, and also how it works. And they'll allow him to handle the camera. And I think the answer to choosing a camera is to go and play with it.
And certainly my own reasons for going with Nikon, there is a longer story to it, but probably best not to divulge all of that here. But essentially, when it came to the point that I looked at what Nikon had to offer, the key points were, A, it was within my price range. B, the camera at that price point did everything that I needed it to do and didn't have too much that I didn't need it to do, that therefore would have maybe meant that it was another model that was an extra £1,000 on top, what have you. And the third thing, which was important to me at the time, was that the people that I spoke to this is actually at Focus on Imaging some years ago. Okay, they're there to promote the brand and what have you, but they did seem very approachable and very friendly, and I was very, you know, well aware that they were there to sell product and to make people aware of it. But it occurred to me that if they were like that then, if my cameras went wrong, needed servicing, or there was any need to get in touch with them directly, that at the time gave me the faith that they conducted themselves in a certain manner, that they could be relied upon to do that. And I have to say, when I have had to deal with them directly, that has been the case. Now, I don't know what it is from a Canon perspective.
So you actually chose Nikon on the basis of what then?
the camera that I was looking at,
yeah.
The results were fantastic. It was at the right price point for me.
Yeah.
And it did everything that I needed it to do. It was, at the time, it was the ideal solution to the question
and
that I had.
How long would Nikon take to fix it?
How long?
Yeah, you've...
I've had stuff fixed by them, and it was a really quick... Some stuff was done within, depending on what it was, a couple of hours while I've been there. Other times
been,
it's...
Been where?
I've taken it directly to Kingston, okay. To Nikon, directly.
Right.
It depends on the severity of the job. I've had... speed light flash guns that needed doing. This is
really interesting. This because the reason I chose Canon, having the service manager for Minolta, who I reckon produced the best 35mm SLR that ever was, better than Nikon, better than Canon, because that particular camera you could get a good focus light on a plain white wall and nothing ever to do that.
Yeah.
And the guy who actually designed that camera is now designing for Sony.
Oh, right.
So I'm watching Sony really carefully because I might in the end jump ship and buy Sony. That'll surprise you.
Nothing would surprise me with you. Isn't it the case that when Minolta... as we knew them, ceased to be, and then you had Konica Minolta.
Yeah.
After that point, wasn't it Sony that picked up Minolta?
Yes, it was.
So that all the technology, the lenses and what have you, that was already established there, is what is now going into Sony.
Yeah.
So that's no surprise to say that chap is actually on board with Sony. And yeah, they are producing some fantastic
results. At the time when I became disappointed... very badly disappointed with Minolta's first DSLR. And I sort of tried really hard with about the first 12 months to make it work, and I just couldn't. The thing was a disaster, in my view. I then decided what to do next, and it turned out that the service manager at Minolta was in thinking of moving to Canon. He didn't in the end move to Canon.
Oh, right.
But he was thinking about it, and I was really impressed with him. And I talked to the guys at Canon, and I said, if something was wrong with my camera and I needed it fixed, how long would it take you to fix it? And the chaps in Chichester, which is where I live, said, oh, we'd have to send it back, it'd be 2 or 3 weeks. And I thought, this is no bloody good. So I actually talked to the service manager at Canon, and he said, get in your car, get it here by 9 o'clock in the morning, we'll have it fixed by the evening. Now, that was because he knew I was a working press photographer. He knew I couldn't afford to be without the camera, and therefore they would pull the stops out for a professional. And I imagine that the Nikon people would do much the same.
Absolutely. And I've had it in the past where I've again asked that same question, how long is it going to take? And they do give the option. They say it can take this long if you do it this way, or if you drop it into us, we can do it on the spot, or we can do, you know, what have you. And again, being very accommodating, you say, well, actually, while you've got it, if you could just clean the sensors, or sometimes they say, oh, we took care of that, you know, while we're at it, then that's never a bad thing. It does make me laugh when people... There's a lot of conversation in forums saying Nikon is better than Canon or Canon is better than Nikon. It's a subjective thing. It's personal experience. It's what is in the marketplace available to you for your requirements. And surely at the end of the day, you need to find out what you're going to be shooting, what's going to work for you. And if you are coming to this from a position where you aren't flooded with money, you need to work out what your budget is and what is going to be, realistically, roughly speaking, a good purchase for your budget and your requirements.
Well, that's without doubt absolutely true. The way I look at it, I've discovered three Canon lenses which, to my mind, are superb. And... this is why I haven't moved from the crop sensor to the full frame sensor, because I've fallen in love with the 17-55. I like their 10-22, and the other one, which would suit a full frame sensor, is the is the F470 to 200 to 200.
Mm.
All three superb lenses. That's all I need for the work I do.
Mm-hmm.
I am still using, would you believe, Canon 40D.
Oh, right.
I thought the Canon 50D just didn't want the roar of the space. There wasn't enough improvement.
Mm.
The same thing applies to the 60D. I'm quite intrigued with the 7D, and I've played with it several times now.
Mm.
And I think that when my 40Ds actually wear out,
Hmm.
then I will actually buy a 70. But the 40D does everything I wanted to do. I bought three of them 7 or 8 years ago, whenever they first came out, because I had bought a 1DS.
Hmm.
And he said, it was the time when Canon were experiencing all sorts of photography problems.
Hmm.
The camera cost a fortune.
Was that the Mark IV?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I found that I could buy 3 40Ds for one. And that was the end of the story. And the camera had done, or those bodies have done, everything I could possibly want.
But you're exactly the same viewpoint as me. Why change cameras just because a new flashy model is available?
Well, apart from the fact I can't afford to do it, the second thing is that it's a complete waste of money. Because in the end, it's the lenses that take the pictures, not the body.
Mm.
All right, so the shutter's working in the body. But in actual fact, it makes far more sense to buy really expensive lenses and cheap bodies than it does the other way around.
Mm.
Anybody who buys a really expensive body and slaps a cheap lens on it is completely wasted time.
Mm. I think that's a good point to end on. I know we've mentioned this a couple of times today and also in the past. Any of you guys listening, if you've got your thoughts, if you think we're complete idiots and we don't know what we're talking about, chip in with your thoughts, because it's a free world and we just want to keep this debate going. If you do agree and you have your own experiences, then of course it'd be good to hear what you've got to say. But for today, for now, Hugh, thank you very much.
Okay.
No doubt a lot of you will be receiving new cameras for Christmas, so it'll be really good to hear what system you've ended up with and why. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I've still got a lot to do in the next week. Each year I kid myself that I'll slow down in the run-up to Christmas, but you know, sometimes it just never seems to work that way. I'm already thinking ahead to the week between Christmas and New Year, and there's lots to put in place for both the podcast and for the website. If you've got any suggestions, of course, please feel free to chip in as ever. Oh, and one final thing, just a reminder really, I will still be putting out a show as usual next week, even though that falls on Boxing Day, so don't forget to keep an eye out for updates. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage and at The Active Tog for all the latest news, web links, hints and tips. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer, or of course send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So, thanks for listening everyone, take care, have a great Christmas with your friends and family, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast. CurrentPhotographer.com.